Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to the Toast. Happy Thursday. That really is giving, not in a good way, Friday energy. You know,
it's giving finality.
Would come, we'd be standing one by one with our future in our hands. So many dreams, so many plans. Yeah, Turdy's going home.
It's the final together episode of the week, but tomorrow we'll do one as pen pals, which is exciting, but not bittersweet because we won't be together. Bruno won't be with his auntie. No. Not only for the show is it harmful and destructive.
For the rhetoric.
It's destructive, but for us as people too, we're going to miss each other.
No, of course. And it's not right.
But it's okay.
I'm gonna make it anyway. Whenever I say I'm going home in like a dramatic way, I always think of, do you know what I'm gonna say?
No.
That scene from, what is that Dakota Johnson and Rebel Wilson movie? How to Be Single. Where like at the end, she finally finds herself and she gets into a cab and he's like, where to, ma'am? She's like, home. I'm going home.
I need an address.
She's like, ma'am, I don't know where the fuck you live. Honestly, hysterical. So I'm going home.
I'm going home. I'm going home.
Not the words.
No, I know.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you
oh my God, it's called like creative liberties.
I thought you were like trying to, you know, really sing.
Excuse me?
Silly me.
Is this our first rodeo?
It's not. It's actually our like
1,300th.
We got to count. We don't know where we're at.
We did count recently.
How many episodes has it been since we stood in this here room and did our 1,000th?
So that was about 14 months ago that we did our 1,000th. So 300.
Give or take. Well, in the honor of that, we've got a great show planned for you guys today. We've got stories. We've got brulala. We've got shulala.
Brew and keeps working.
More importantly than all of that, we have the Fiddler on the Roof kind of recap, follow-up that you've all been waiting for. Jackie and I finished Fiddler on the Roof last night.
That you've been waiting for since the 1970s when the movie came out.
Correct. I wasn't expecting the turn the film took, you know. I always knew, like I said yesterday, the film was about a family. I knew it was about daughters getting married. I didn't know about, you know, the political climate in the village in which they resided. And I didn't know the second half of the film was seriously going to make me want to kill myself.
Yeah. Because it is about daughters getting married, sure, amongst other things. But it's really about, like, Jewish history and the plight of the Jews in Russia and what happened to the Russian Jews.
Everything from, you know, the first act, all the drama, the silly town gossip, kind of fell by the wayside, was irrelevant because they had 3 days to pack their shit and get out.
Yeah.
So I was left at the end of the film, like, climbing into bed feeling sad, for mm-hmm. sure. And I wasn't, you know, like, LARPing, like, oh, I'm the title. Like, I was just kind of sat there with
my
sadness.
Yeah, like, your title, you're moving somewhere with your husband while you wait for your family who's emigrating to America to see if they can bring you over, like, with your new baby. It's not really, like, fun anymore while your sister is living in Siberia because her chosen husband is a political prisoner and your other sister is dead to the family because she married outside the faith, one, and two, to, like, an officer whose people just kicked out your people.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, living for the cancellation of Chava. Like, Chava is over party. I loved every minute of it. I kept saying, I'm like, we need to get back to Chava. Like, I need to see the part where her family finds out. I need to see the part where, like, they literally ignore her and sit Shiva for her. And let me tell you, it did not disappoint. I wanted them to go harder on Chava. I really did. Like, I wanted Chava to leave there in pieces.
Yeah.
I am all for the destruction of Chava. What's their last name? I don't think they told us, like, the family name.
I don't know.
Well, I was all for, like, I was the event planner for Chava's over party, you know?
Yeah.
I was obsessed.
Yeah, so it was enjoyable. Good
it
family
was
movie, added to the list.
Good family movie, sad. Like, just don't forget about the unexpected turn.
Yeah, and it just kind of ends there.
And now having seen it in full, like, fresh in your mind, what are your final thoughts on a potential modern take on the film?
No, the more we talked about it and the more people wrote in the comments, like, the more I feel like this movie needs to be protected and that it wouldn't be, and it seriously couldn't be in the modern climate.
There's
no way that it doesn't turn out like a hot steaming pile of garbage. No matter how many protections are in place, they can't help themselves, Turtle.
I did see a good suggestion for a casting in the comments, and it'd be that Amy Schumer plays the matchmaker.
She's too, like, funny and, like,
the matchmaker is funny.
But I feel like I'll be too much like, oh my God, that's Amy Schumer. I just feel like all these people that we know, like, cosplayed.
Yeah.
And it needs to, I think she's too recognizable.
Okay. Okay. I agree. And by the way, as far as I've heard, there are no projects in the works to revamp this film.
Someone said like the Haim sisters should play the daughters. Like, no, that's why we shouldn't have a remake.
Yeah. Like like that sort of suggestion is really not understanding like how specific we are intending to be when casting
that
this film.
That sort of suggestion is not in tune with what's necessary.
Somebody also left a comment. Josh Groban actually converted to Christianity, which was really heartbreaking.
Bye, Felicia. I feel like a part of me knew that because I didn't see him in my head as a Jew.
Oh, I did. Somebody told me that like somewhat recently and like it's been my favorite thing that
I've
learned.
I feel like you're always telling it to me and I'm kind of like a Josh Groban stan.
You are.
Like amongst Bruno Mars and Kelly Clarkson, like you can add, he's of that ilk for me. And it didn't have like Jew on his resume for me. And you always tell me that and I'm like, oh, cool, but it doesn't stick.
Well, God had Jew on his resume, but Josh had other plans.
He converted outside the faith.
That's what
I mean. It's hard to be a Jew. Look around.
No, not everyone can handle it. Clearly, also, Josh Groban couldn't.
Historically, you know, what we're seeing right now is not new. No, it's not. It's a tale as old as time.
So Fiddler on the Roof, what platform did we watch it on? I don't even remember.
Amazon Prime, we bought it.
Did we?
I don't know.
Well, I was going to recommend. I feel like it might have been Disney Plus. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Whatever.
Stream Fiddler,
Stan Topol, and I really enjoyed that journey we went on. Mm-hmm. And other than that, before we dive into the Fast Five stories, anything you want to, you know, tell us about?
Is there something you're waiting for me to tell you about?
Like a recap of that's what we do here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it felt like kind of targeted.
No, but like, what did we do yesterday?
What did we do?
We reared children. We worked 9 to 5.
Like, the day kind of just goes into a hole.
It does.
And then we had dinner, you know?
Right,
there
right.
was dinner.
And then there was frozen yogurt.
Oh, there was. For me, I went for the ice cream. I splurged.
Jackie went for hard ice cream. I went for soft serve. Hers was so much better. At the end of the day, make the right choice.
Yeah.
Ben was just like pressuring us. He's like, I'm going. Write your two things in the chat. And I actually put two different orders in the chat. As did you. Because it was such a sort of hasty moment.
And he mucked up my order. I wanted like one Cookie Monster ice cream and then one cookies and cream ice cream, like separate, so I could have my experimentation ice cream, and he put them together.
And what is worse than like somebody like going and like doing you a favor and doing it wrong? You can't really be mad at them because like they were the one who volunteered to go get the ice cream.
Yeah, but he had selfish interest too.
Well, of course he went, and by the way, he had his ice cream before he even got home.
And seriously, every night he's been like, ice cream tonight. So we were kind of doing him a favor by giving him permission.
Because we've been really good on
and
our health
journeys. And
not
making him eat alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we were good on our health journeys, but we've been slipping.
Once it became Passover and we had to like get creative with meals and stuff, we let the chips fall where they may.
Because potato chips are kosher for Passover, but we've been slipping, which is also why it's kind of good that we're parting ways, because we haven't been like the best influence on one another. So now we'll kind of like go back into our holes, grind, and then I'll see you again in like a week and a half.
Are you talking about physically? You're going to see me in a week and a half?
I am.
You are.
Because we're going to Dear Meat IRL in Austin. Not a secret.
We have a lot of things coming up. We're going to Jackson Turd, heading down south. We're going to Austin, which is just always fun and exciting. We're doing a panel together. We're also doing a Spritz meet and greet. So details to follow. Then I'm headed to LA.
Yeah.
For the 5K.
So I'll be seeing you in Austin really soon.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I also, total blur, I ran 3.2 miles yesterday, which like is the 5K and then some. My time was 39 minutes. I was really not okay.
We need to talk about the 5K.
Oh my God. Okay, what? What did I do now?
We've reached the threshold.
Of talking about
the 5K.
Wait, that's like so crazy. I feel like I literally like never talk about it. No, I'm being dead serious.
Really?
I feel like, yeah. I like when I have like an update in my run progress, like I'll share it in the pre-Fast 5 banter. And I really don't feel like that's that crazy.
No. If there's an
update. By the way, sound off in the comments. Have I been talking too much about the 5K? I'm telling you my ass is not.
Yeah.
I haven't for sure.
Maybe you haven't.
I think perhaps you have a low threshold. Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know. I kind of have a high threshold for you talking, period. I have a high threshold of people talking about like their passion projects. You know, I feel like I have a high threshold, but maybe I can't see.
It's giving blindness, but perhaps that's
could
me
be
being
blindness.
Deaf.
It could be blindness on your part. One of us is blind and deaf.
Does Jackie have a low threshold for talking about the 5K, or have I been really annoying? Let me know. Also, I don't care, even if I have been really annoying, there's one more week, and what I've done in these last 3 months is just amazing.
Right. Nothing short of
a miracle.
Miraculous. And the good news is, like, in a week, it's over, unless you've got the marathon bug.
Absolutely not. I do like running. I do think I'll add it to my fitness routine. 3 miles is definitely my max.
I feel like you're on track to run a marathon by November.
Are you nuts?
The New York City Marathon.
Okay, so when the marathon happens, like, I do watch it, and I'm, like, jealous of all the attention that people get, and I think, oh, my God, like...
People could be writing posters for you.
I'm going to start today.
For you.
364 days till the marathon. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. But, like, in theory, and it's so crazy because I always think about that 1 year Olivia ran the half marathon, and we were like, what are you doing? And she did that shit. Like, we literally went we dragged our asses to Prospect Park, and we waited for her. And honestly, the more I think about it, like, we didn't give her enough credit. It was really, like, a crazy thing to do. A half marathon is 13 miles.
Yeah.
I would say, like, maybe that. Jackie, it's so many miles. Like,
you get hours to do it. It's not
who
like.
Who wants to be running for hours? I, like, count down the minutes.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like that's in my future, okay. But, you know, maybe play this at my funeral, you know?
Right, play this after you finish the marathon.
Right, when you're making, like, fan edits of me, when you came to see me live. Like, yeah. That's why I would do it, for the attention.
Oh, for sure, the fan edits. Like, lights will guide you home. And she's crossing the finish line. And ignite your bones. And she's sitting here saying, I would never do a marathon.
I will try to fix Brew.
Bruno's perfect. Just the way you are.
And when I'm in LA, when I'm not doing the 5K, I have lined up such a stellar lineup of guest co-hosts. I don't want to spoil that. I'm not even going to make an announcement. I'm just going to drop the episodes with, like, these. I think I have 4 booked. I'm waiting on my 5th. So far, nobody who's ever been on the toast before. Correct?
That's exciting. Right? I don't even know who the final 4 are right now. Like, there were names swirling, but I don't know who was booked.
Yeah. It's giving Women in Comedy. It's giving Netflix is a joke fest. You know, that we happen to be in LA. That's why the 5K is that week. All these comedians are in town. So I really had my pick of the litter.
That's exciting. And what's exciting for me is, don't look for me. Your girl will be at the spa.
Love.
She will be pampered and pampering. She'll be getting tasks done that she hasn't been able to get done.
It's giving productivity. It's giving women in STEM.
No, that way, that week, like, I just have to get to that week. Like, I have so much going on. I have to just get to that week, and then I'm free.
It's going to be amazing.
No, I'm so excited. And the best part is I'll have the toast to listen to.
Correct.
And if you guys are looking for me, you should stop because you won't find me.
I did want to let everyone know, I plan on pre-recording these episodes. So I land Sunday and I'm going to record Sunday night for Monday, Monday for Tuesday, Tuesday for Wednesday, and so forth. So the episodes will be out on time, and they might not be, like, the most insanely topical. Like, if there's breaking news, it's going to be giving more of an interview form. There are certain people, like, especially who I'm recording with on Monday, I want his takes on the Fast 5. So he'll be doing Tuesday's Fast 5 with me. But for everyone, I'm just going to take it, you know, day by day.
Great.
Co-host by co-host.
Great, because you know that the Fast 5 here are just a means to an end. Correct. And if you think that, like, this show is about the Fast 5, then it's your first episode and welcome, because we are so excited to have you here. Toast is an amazing show, and we love new listeners. And the thing is, we'll bring you in with the Fast 5 and the talk of pop culture. You think, like, oh, it's a pop culture podcast. How exciting. I like pop culture. But now you're here, and it's really just about Fiddler on the Roof and Turdy's 5K and how Bruno is an amazing gem of a man who is in financial ruin, which is why he comes to work every day now.
Speaking of pop culture, Jackie and I found ourselves a couple of days ago sort of at the center of a phenomenon in pop culture, and we completely forgot to talk about it on yesterday's show.
Which is giving conspiracy.
Yeah,
because
a lot
people are
people,
like, why aren't you guys mentioning it? And what's so funny is, like, when it happened,
we told you guys.
What do you mean?
We told you guys that this was going to happen. Remember?
Oh, yeah. We said on our Patreon, though, that Vanderpump Rules producers reached out asking if they could use a clip from The Toast when Jax was on.
Sign, like, a licensing form.
And we assumed that it was from that scene where he's talking to Tom Sandoval, like, and it was going to be a clip from The Toast when he was talking trash about Sandoval.
But they clipped a segment from his and Britney's podcast instead. Right, so we were like, they didn't choose us.
They didn't choose us because that was when Jax was on VPR and it was going into the Valley. So we didn't think we would see Jax again. But then we said that on Patreon. And then the producers actually emailed. They're like, no, it's going to be on a different episode.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
They were like, no, it's on a different episode. Like, it's still happening.
They gave us the air date, but it just completely slipped my mind.
Right. And then when it aired two nights ago, everyone who was watching live messaged us and our friends texted us and we were so excited. And we actually turned on that one moment. Mm-hmm. Claudia took a video of me watching it and we just like forgot to post the video. And then yesterday we forgot to mention it. And it seems like we're kind of like giving...
Dodging
and like avoiding and...
The spotlight.
There's like beef maybe?
No beef whatsoever. Live for it. Like I did cringe because like I was really the one like fanning the flames of that conversation. If you watch, they only clipped a small bit, but... The conversation Jax and I were having, which is one that I started, was I felt like at that point in time, Lisa Vanderpump's presence on the show was a little superfluous, for lack of a better word. And I was asking Jax like what his thoughts were on her being there when it's like all these younger people and why she was getting involved in their business. And he just went off. Like if I had started what I thought was like a provocative question, he like totally took the bait and he said that she was superfluous, that she was a prop, she betrayed him. Like he really went off. And so Lisa is really angry with him and that's like a big storyline kind of, you know, started by Charity.
Central to the Central. Drama.
And I wonder if like when they're at the reunion, they're gonna be like, you said that on the toast. You know?
Yeah. No, they usually don't say that. They'll say like, and sometimes they'll say, not about us, but about others. They're like gossip podcast.
Reality TV podcast, like Juror Number 9.
Shout out Juror Number 9. I hope you're having a good day.
We still haven't heard from her, by the way.
Like,
but if we had, maybe we wouldn't have even told you.
Is Juror Number 9, like, do they have to stay in a hotel? Is it like a high profile trial like that?
I'm not sure. But also, Juror Number 9. Let's do the gematria of Number 9.
Half of Chai.
Correct.
It's so. Giving Tevye.
It's giving Juror Number 9 as a toaster, as if we needed any more reason to believe.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Again, toast just kind of like central to what's going on right now.
Yet another phenomena in pop culture. Phenomena.
One of them is plural. One of them is singular.
Is that what it is?
I believe.
Man, you learn something new.
I like it my way better.
And if I'm wrong, so be it.
So what? Look. I didn't get struck.
Oh, so I'm wrong? What are you going to do about it? Leave a comment?
Just leave incessant comments.
Create engagement?
No, the women's basketball team is still in the finals. That was the men's. Iowa.
But you know we ended up being wrong about that, right? Did you ever figure out? Because what they were telling us was different. It wasn't that it was men's and women's. It was like Iowa State versus Iowa University. Like we were talking about the wrong team. Don't care.
So what? I'm still a rock star. I got my rock moves and I don't need you. Cause like, yeah, sure, we were wrong. But like, seriously, so what? Like, it has no actual
bearing on society
or even whatever conversation we were having. Like sometimes if we're wrong and like that changes like the message or the whole chain
it's
of
rare.
Events.
It's rare.
Then it requires a correction. But like, seriously, okay.
I really can't.
Yes, and?
I can't believe like you think I talk about the 5K too much. Like, I'm really now feeling self-conscious.
I'm sorry.
No, but it's these things are important to know. I like to, you know, fancy myself a self-aware girl.
Yeah.
But I just want to make sure, like, you're right, you know?
Hopefully I'm not. Maybe it's just, like, me because I'm on the receiving end of it.
Perhaps. Or maybe it's because, like, I've been living in your house just sort of, like, running every day and, like, you see me, you know? And, like, I always make, like, a big deal of it, you know?
No, actually.
Maybe I'm just, like, kind of rubbing it in everyone's faces. Maybe that. I could see how maybe that. I've been doing that. Yeah, I'll do better.
And you'll listen?
No.
And you'll learn?
No.
Never.
Tell me about the stories.
Grud.
That works for me. If it works for you, that sounds good.
No, I'm excited to talk about some of them. Not all of them. I'll be real.
Okay.
Well, I mean, some of them, it's like you guys are excited for us to talk about them. But if I'm being real, like.
Oh, I feel that like, sometimes. Yeah, it's giving.
like
whatever.
No, but it's good. I think there's some really interesting conversations waiting for us on the other side of the ads.
Oh, okay. Well,
on the other side of the ads.
With the Nutrafol and Farmer's Dog and... I don't want to spoil it.
And
Saks.com and Hot Spring Campaign podcast copy. Yeah, it's just a little spoiler alert of what's to come.
So now, without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories on the other side of the ads that you need to know.
And the Fast Size Stories are brought to you by Nutrafol, the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. And that's why they take a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside. They're supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. So I was very open when I lost a lot of weight that I really suffered very badly from hair shedding. And it was really, I mean, it's bad for anyone to go through it, but like me personally, hair is so important to me. My hair is my security blanket. My hair is my protector. My hair is such an important thing for me. And I did a couple of things that I really, really recommend. And one of them was taking Nutrafol. A lot of people recommended it to me at the time. And now that I'm, you know, on the other side of the journey, my hair has never looked better. I can speak from experience saying that I really recommend it. I like that they, you know, target the root cause. For me, it was change in diet. For other people, it can be stress. It can be menopause, postpartum, a million different things. They have multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, like aging, parenting, as well as different lifestyles, like if you have a plant-based diet. So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. And for a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off their first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code THETOAST. So Nutrafol.com is spelled N-U-T-R-A-F-O-L.com, promo code THETOAST. That's Nutrafol.com, code is THETOAST. Building a hair growth routine is really simple. You purchase it online. There's no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries will ensure that you never miss a day, and you will see results in 3 to 6 months. Today's episode is also brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, which is why Brewers decided to come to work. The days are warmer, the walks are longer, and the one easy way to help your dog shine this season is with fresh, healthy food from The Farmer's Dog. If you live like somewhere I do in New York, I feel like, you know, everything's coming up your pet. Things are about to change for the better. We're taking summer vacations. We are going outside. The sun is shining, and like everything's about to really be coming up Tromium. The Farmer's Dog makes real fresh dog food and delivers it right to your door. The recipes are developed by vet nutritionists. They're made from real meat and veggies, and they're portioned just for your dog, making it easy to say goodbye to burnt brown balls and feeding your dog real food with real benefits. Ton of benefits that you can see from feeding your dog fresh, healthy food. With Theo, I remember the number one thing was his breath. I know like everybody loves dog breath, but for a while I felt like Theo's was really unnatural. And it turns out that it was. His breath was so much better when we switched to The Farmer's Dog. His digestion was better. His poops were more regulated and better size. Coat was really shiny. Mouth looking fresh. It's smart, healthy dog food that you can feel good about feeding your pup. It is the best option for dogs at all life stages. And they are going to deliver it, which is just everything of the sort. And keeping your dog at a maintaining their ideal weight is one of the biggest predictors of a full, healthy life. When a dog is at a healthy weight, they can live up to 2.5 years longer than overweight dogs. So get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/toast. Plus, you're going to get free shipping when you go to thefarmersdog.com/TOAST to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Saks.com. Jackie and I have decided that we are saying yes to the warm weather this year, and that means we are stepping up our wardrobe with the help of Saks.com. Everybody knows that Saks.com is truly the place to shop. They make it easy for us to jump into spring and summer fashion trends as we approach the warmer seasons. So if you have a lot of things coming up this summer, I feel like everyone's getting married this summer, trips, vacations, work stuff. You can't really look forward to those sort of events until you know what you're wearing. Until then, it's just sort of dread, existential dread. And then you have your outfit and you're like, okay, wait, this is exciting. I'm going to be looking fly. So big, you know, placing an order from Saks.com, which I absolutely need to do this week, covering all of your bases is going to make you feel better. Whether you are looking for new boots, you going to Stagecoach this weekend, beachwear, headed to St. Bart's, or are you, you know, looking for activewear because you're running a 5K that apparently you talk about too much, they've got it all at Saks.com. It's super fun and easy to shop on brands that you love, like Staud, Loewe, Favorite Daughter. Saks also does a great job of finding up-and-coming designers before everyone else, so you can hop onto the trends. You know, a lot of people were like, Turdy, you went to the royal wedding. Yes, I did go to Jackson Brittany's wedding, and I wore a dress from Saks.com that I literally, and now it's a brand I use all the time, but when I first shopped, it was Eero Paris, I-R-O. Now, of course, everyone's wearing that, but I was wearing Eero Paris to their wedding first because I got it at Saks.com. So with different curated shops like Spring Wedding Guest, It Girl Closet, Designer Shop and Date Night, they make it easy for you to find exactly what you're looking for, so you can find anything from a cozy vibe to a more elevated look at Saks.com. Discover new ways to shop for everything every day at Saks.com.
Thank you, Turtle.
You're welcome.
Our first story, rumor swirling.
Swirling?
I'm tired of rumors starting, except this isn't like a rumor. Hold on. It'd be weird if it weren't true.
I'm sick of rumors swirling. I'm sick of being girly.
Never.
I'm not tired of either of those things.
But word on the street is that Travis and Taylor were on a private couple's getaway with Gigi Hadid and Bradley Cooper. At Carmel by the Sea this weekend as her album dropped. The foursome were double dating.
No, wait, I'm trying to find the phrase. Hold on. Taylor Swift to me is, she's a near perfect person, you know? And the more I learn about her, like later and like the older she gets, like the more I love. Her fatal flaw, that's the worst thing about Taylor Swift, is her friendship with Gigi Hadid, because there's like fewer people on this earth I despise more. And honestly, I'm probably one of the people Gigi Hadid despises most too, her and her family's anti-Semitism just oozing out of every pore. And it's very tough. And you know, the fact, and I feel like they've always been like really strong, but I feel like their friendship has never been stronger. Like she's spending this weekend.
She's like the top of the crop. Like she's like, Taylor has a lot of friends. She's always had a lot of friends, but there are, I think, like three or four of the celebrity elk that like are her ride or dies.
And Taylor's friendship with Kelly Taylor made me like her. So, like, as if I couldn't like Taylor more. I love Kelly Taylor. We've been on the Kelly Taylor train before everyone else. Like it was so much cool now, but we've always been. To me, that friendship, I was like, oh, this is a woman of taste, you know?
Yeah.
And
this is like, who do you think she's closer with, Gigi or Blake Lively?
Blake Lively.
Okay, that's
good. Yeah. We stand. No, it's really, really tough. It's tough. The Zionist 50s definitely have a hard time with this. And I don't know how many of us there are, but I know there's a me, Margo, and Liz Woods. And we struggle.
Yeah. And that's how she chose to like celebrate her big
album. I know. They're really close.
I'm sure Travis and Bradley are enjoying each other, because also Bradley is an Eagles fan, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's excited to be with the brother of the Eagle.
Legend.
Of the Eagle legend was way hardcore.
And not to make this story about me, but like, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's also tough because there was a time when like I literally died for Gigi Hadid. Like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Cody Simpson.
Joe Jonas.
But no, really before that, like when she was on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and like really her star was taking off and she dated Cody Simpson and she did that. I always think of this one like Australian swimwear company. I think that was like one of her really big first campaigns. Like, the way I was obsessed with Gigi Hadid, like, was so crazy. And it was because I was obsessed with Housewives and it was just, like, this natural. And she was, like, I was obsessed with her. And I can't believe, like, that's a... She also, like, looked so different. She was, like, really bleach blonde and she was more bikini... Not bikini. She was more...
Commercial
looking than high fashion. And that was, like, a lot of the work that she did. Like, remember when she did that campaign for Guess and she, like, fainted and her mom was, like, have a bite of an almond. Like, that was iconic. And I can't believe that's the same person. She's lived, like, so many different lives. We all have.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a story like I really can't talk about much further because like I'm just blinded by rage.
Yeah, I understand. Well, there's part two to this story.
Oh.
And it's about Donna Kelsey.
Oh, yes. She's running her mouth.
Who's running her mouth over Taylor's album. So she was at QVC's Age of Possibility Summit in Las Vegas on Wednesday, where she was also overheard talking about the fact that Taylor was on this double date. So that's like partially the source for this, but also I saw it on Dumois. Anyways, she said, I listened to the whole album and I listened to it all morning long when it was released.
She said this on QVC, this part?
No, she said, yes, she told People Magazine at QVC's summit. Mm-hmm. She said, I was just very impressed. She's a very talented woman and I think it is probably her best work.
We love that Donna Kelsey has gotten media trained, because the last time she was asked about Taylor on the Today Show, it was like clusterfuck. Like, yeah. And she was trying to be respectful, but ended up like low-key being rude.
And
she was
like
trying
to be like aloof and like
coy and ended up being rude.
Yeah.
So we love that she's listening and learning.
Yeah, she was asked if she has any words of wisdom for Taylor. And she said, she doesn't need my advice on anything. In fact, I hope she will give me advice.
Yeah, she's clearly listened and learned. And we love, we stan.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know? Like, cool, Donna. Yeah,
no, cool.
We love.
Do you think Donna like is worried? I don't think Travis is worried about this because I don't think Travis is a worrier.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't give worry word energy.
But I think, you know, mothers worry about their sons.
Of course.
Do you think that she's worried what sort of album would come out about Travis?
No.
If things go south?
Because I think she knows the type of like person she raised. And like, you could say what you want about Travis, but he's not like a bad person.
Yeah, you think he'll behave in a respectable way?
I do. Although there were like a lot of rumors about him prior that he was like sort of like a cheater.
Yeah.
Like football athlete energy. You can't pull that shit. You can't pull that shit in this type of relationship. The whole world is watching.
But regardless of what happens in their relationship, if it were to end, which at this rate, like it's not.
It never will.
But if it were to end, like there would be songs to come out about him, you know, and you know, not every person that Taylor's dated and slammed in the past is a bad person. She just like, she's sharing her feelings.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't make them a bad person if they're in a song.
So you're saying like she knows the boy that she raised, but that doesn't make him immune to having like a song written about him that someone like that he broke someone's heart.
Yeah, right. No, I don't think Donna's worried, honestly. I think they're all just like basking in the glow of whatever the hell is going on right now. It's so strange. Like they're just like living life, you know, and things seems like things couldn't be going better.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
So let's just enjoy this moment without ruining it, like thinking about the future and like all potential bad outcomes, you know?
Yeah. I'm just saying. No, I'm just making conversation.
No, I know you're saying.
For our podcast.
Which is always good.
Thinking through things.
It's always good. But no, to answer your question, no, I don't think she's thinking that.
Especially because like this album is such a slammer in terms of slamming people. Mm-hmm. And when I think back on her last two albums, they actually weren't.
No, because they weren't written about her.
Like Midnight was about a lot of, like some songs are about her personal life, but it felt more about like experiences. It was just more random in a good way.
You know, there's like this sort of battle, this debate between, you know, online Swifties that Midnight is a breakup album masked as like, you know, a pop, pussy popping song.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I just feel like it wasn't other albums from earlier in her career, like Red is the Jake Gyllenhaal album.
Yeah.
And the Connor Kennedy album. And Speak Now is
John Mayer.
Right. And Tortured Poets is the Matty Healy, a little bit of Sprinkle Joe Alwyn album.
Folklore, Evermore, and Midnights don't really have that sort of identifier.
Neither does, and Lover is a positive album. So
about
no,
Joe.
No slam, no hate, no shade. And Reputation is not about relationships.
No, it is. It's also very pop. When the songs that, some of them are obviously about Kim and like, Look What You Made Me Do. But a lot of them are, you know, Call It What You Want.
Good, positive.
Positive Joe songs.
Right. So we haven't had like a slam in a while. Yeah. A full album slam. And I think it's just like, she's putting everyone on notice.
We were due.
She's putting everyone on notice. If I'm down and I'm listening, I'm saying like, Travis, like, act right.
You bitches forgot, but this is what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Our next story, some update in the saga between Rebel Wilson and Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh my God, the most unlikely feud.
I'm obsessed. Rebel Wilson's memoir.
We were at Barnes & Noble and we like almost bought her memoir because like it's been enticing.
For sure, but listen to this. Her memoir will be published in the UK with the Sacha Baron Cohen allegations redacted. Uh-huh. Rebel Wilson's memoir will look slightly different when it hits bookstores in the UK. Rebel Rising, which was published in the US on April 2nd, debuts in British bookstores on April 25th, with some passages redacted. They said, "We are publishing every page, but for legal reasons in the UK edition, we are redacting most of one page with some other small redactions and an explanatory note. Those sections are a very small part of a much bigger story, and we're excited for readers to know Rebel's story when the book is released. Among the redacted elements are details of her allegations about experiences working with Sacha Baron Cohen on the set of the movie The Brothers Grimsby. She wrote that she felt harassed and humiliated by Sacha Baron Cohen, and he vehemently denied the allegations. A rep for him told People when the book was first published in the U.S., quote, while we appreciate the importance of speaking out, these demonstrably false claims are directly contradicted by extensive detailed evidence, including contemporaneous documents, film footage, and eyewitness accounts for those present before, during, and after the production of The Brothers Grimsby."
Well, two things. One, you know, the laws are different in every country. So it's possible that like, you know, she is more guilty in the UK and maybe perhaps that's why she took it out. But also I do feel like in a sense, redacting it is like an admission of guilt.
Yeah.
That's not the best look.
Yeah, there. His camp had said like they clearly did not fact check this book. In the UK, you can't just write
shit.
False shit about people. That's still the law. This is a really bad look for Rebel.
Yikes.
And her memoir.
Memoirs of a Rebel.
Memoirs of a Rebel. Like, it's giving, like, I'm a liar.
But by the way, did we just even talk about the name of her book? Because I think it's kind of a great name. Rebel Rising. I love it.
Yeah. It's not Memoirs of a Rebel, but it's number two.
And it's certainly not Memoirs of a Streisand.
And like this does call into, like, of course, when someone has a bad experience, like two people experience it differently and someone, you know,
there are three sides to every story. His, hers, and the truth.
Their version of it is their version of it. And that's how they felt, regardless of the facts of what happened. Like there's the facts and then there's your feelings about it.
Yep.
Like, and you're free to write about your feelings. Yep. But to be so obvious in who it's about and slanderous, and then it might come to be that the facts don't really line up with your feelings.
Yeah.
That's not a good look.
No, and it's clear that UK law has a little bit more specific when it comes to facts versus feelings.
And how do you redact a passage in a book 3 days before it hits shelves? Like, it's printed. So what, is someone at the booksellers
like crossing it out? I don't know, actually. Or perhaps when they went to print in the UK, because I think it's like a different version. It's different, like imprint and stuff, and a different printing press. maybe they've known for a while that they were going to cut it out because of the law.
No, I don't think so, because we just heard about this a month ago. Books start printing like months in advance.
Also, if he does sue her, the fact that like the excerpt was released prior to the book being published and, you know, it's on all over the internet, like it not, it being redacted in the UK, like barely helps her case.
Not her case, but it helps his.
Yeah, of course. I'm saying like, it's definitely an admission of guilt.
Yeah.
Because if something is 100,000% factual and able to be backed up,
yeah,
you have absolutely no reason not to publish it. You're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
So it just makes you think.
It does make you think. And you know what? Good for him for standing up for himself. Because people just, like, when you make allegations like that about
these
someone.
These days,
and
they just
like,
stick.
And who would we be to say, like, oh, that didn't, like, no. You know, if she says, like, that's what I experienced, like, of course. That's. But if that's not what happened, you have to defend yourself.
Yeah, because those things just stick. And they're like, well, then you just get a label on you. They're
of
like,
course.
You know, alleged harasser, Sacha Baron Cohen. That's how they'll refer to you in articles for years to come.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's important to speak up. It's also important to defend yourself.
Agreed.
Our next story is some crazy legal news.
CLN.
Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape and sexual assault convictions in New York have been overturned. So stay tuned for the deets. So Harvey Weinstein's convictions in New York State for rape and sexual assault have been overturned, according to a decision on Thursday, April 25th. So he was reported, he was sentenced to 23 years in prison. He was charged after being accused of forcibly performing oral sex on a woman in 2006 and raping another woman in 2013. The overturning of the convictions comes after his lawyer claimed that the client didn't receive a fair trial due to decisions of the trial judge, in particular allowing three women to testify against him whose allegations weren't included in the case and permitting prosecutors to potentially confront him about his general behavior. His lawyer claimed that these decisions by the judge meant that Weinstein's character was on trial rather than the allegations at hand. So this has been thrown out, but he is still in prison because of a conviction in California. So it's not like he's getting out of prison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But like, what, like, are people dumb?
Which people?
Like, you're, this kind of reminds me like of OJ when that woman, Marsha Clark, like shit the bed.
Yeah.
Like this is, do better. You're literally a lawyer, do better. Like, there clearly was reason for his thing to get appealed. What you just said, like, having women on trial who aren't a part of the case, like, whatever, that obviously is against law in some, like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Moron. Like.
That's the prosecution.
People who can't do their jobs, like, really irk me.
Yeah. So, that's really crazy that that was thrown out.
When I saw, I thought, like, he was, like, getting out of jail and we'd go through this trial again. Where is he in jail? In California?
I thought in New York.
I thought in New York, too. Like, which prison? Is he in, like, a real prison?
I think so, yeah.
Like,
I don't know which prison.
Not like a camp, like where, you know.
No, because it's
where they
not,
send Felicity Huffman.
No, it's not, it's like, financial crime.
Right. Where is Harvey Weinstein in prison? Like, did he go where Teresa went?
No,
Mohawk Correctional Facility in Rome, New York. Rome. Now let's look up this facility. Okay, it is, yeah, Rome, New York. They have a website. It's an American state prison for men in Oneida County, New York, owned and operated by the New York State Department of Corrections. And it's a medium security, but also has a maximum security unit and a special housing unit.
Yeah.
There's also an inmate list. Interesting.
Oh, wow.
Where are the most comfortable prisons? I'm now on, like, some list. Guess where the number, but this is all over the world, so do we really care? Norway, for those who are wondering. Damn, Daniel. Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yes.
It's number four.
Oh, well, that of course does change things.
So yeah.
No, to answer your question, I'm not ready. Because if it's the number four story that's brought to you by Hatch, perchance.
Perchance.
So sleep schedule is the most important thing. I think it can really change everything. It can change your outlook on life. It can change how you operate. It can change your productivity. There are so many things that are going to keep us up at night. Endless to-do lists, social media, our favorite television shows. A million things don't want you to sleep, but Hatch does. Hatch helps you choose sleep and create bedtime habits that make you feel better at night and energized in the morning. The Hatch Restore helps you build sleep habits that make your unwind and wake routines simple and enjoyable for a screen-free bedtime, even when your to-do list wants you to choose otherwise. And with a Hatch Plus subscription, you can unlock premium routine business building features like Cue to Unwind, which signals you when it's time to go to bed, Pillow Talk, which is an audio series just like your favorite bedtime TV shows without screens that keep you up. I know a lot of people like my age play the TV in the background while they're going to sleep because they find the sound comforting and it's TV shows they've watched a million times. But that light is so bad for you and it is going to keep you up. So it's kind of counterproductive. And I love that Hatch has like this entire slate of programming with screen-free entertainment to lull you into sleep. Personally, I love how they wake you up. They wake you up with light. And if that doesn't do it, like 30 minutes later, they'll do it with sound. It's so civilized. It's so... makes such a difference in how you wake up. And I'm really into like low lift wellness tings. And this is one of the things that Jackie did that I then adapted into my life. And having the Hatch Plus subscription and just the Hatch item itself is so fabulous. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off their purchase of a Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/toast. That's hatch.co/toast to get $20 off and free shipping, hatch.co/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by NerdX, a digital healthcare platform that makes it easy to get the expert healthcare you deserve at every step of your journey. Everybody is different, so NerdX provides treatment and care that's personalized to you. Through life's changes and transitions, NerdX is here to help you make informed choices about your health with care offerings like birth control, anti-aging prescription skincare, treatment for common mental health concerns, and they're all tailored to your unique health history and goals. So their experts are here to help. NerdX's licensed medical providers possess in-depth knowledge and expertise in a range of common health concerns. It's a care model that's designed to grow with women. So from birth control to wrinkles and dark spot treatment, NerdX understands that women's healthcare journeys are unique and ever-changing. They are championing women to be their best advocates. Women can count on NerdX to provide transparency and resources to make their informed decisions about their health with access to 24/7 care and support. Their patients have freedom to ask questions and get real answers when they need it most. So taking care of your reproductive health starts with NerdX. Their team is there to help with a wide range of reproductive and sexual health care needs like birth control. And they have given and delivered birth control to more than 1.6 million patients in the U.S. It is convenient, private, and compassionate. Thank you to NerdX for sponsoring this episode. Taking control of your health starts here. So go to NerdX.com/toast to get started. That's NerdX.com/TOAST. Results may vary. It's not offered in every state. Medication is prescribed only if clinically appropriate. Consultation is required. That's NerdX, NerdX.com/toast, NerdX.com/TOAST.
Thank you, Turtle.
You're welcome.
Our next story has to do with the story from last week that I didn't get your opinion on, but which I would love. But Buckingham Palace has now started promoting its strawberry preserve days after Meghan Markle releases her line of jam.
Yes. However, story kind of makes it seem like they launched jam just because she did. This is a years long project.
Promote. So as we stated last week.
And it's also jam season. Like, sorry, this is a big nothing burger.
For sure. But as we stated last week, Meghan Markle started ARO. She launched her jam.
What is it called? American Riviera Orchard.
She sent her jams American to her friends.
Riviera Orchard by the Rural Juror.
Exactly. And on Wednesday, Buckingham Palace's shop's Instagram account shared a video promoting a royal strawberry preserve just days after ARO's jams.
I think this is not like a slight or these two things have anything to do with each other. I think it's jam season.
You think there is room for all of us in the jam market?
I think we all have jam products that we want to promote.
Interesting. I just want to say the Buckingham Palace gift shop is an amazing place to shop online for gifts. Like I have placed a few orders from there. The joy it brings, like you have to check out.
No, Jackie's nutty, but those cookies, like...
You could get biscuits. Everything is, like, biscuits. So fancy looking. Got, like, books. Oh, my God. Some of the best kids' books that I got from there. I've got, like, some history books. It's crazy. Like, you have to look at this website. It's insane.
She's not wrong. I'm not going to lie. She is not wrong.
Stationery, a planner, like, an apron. Just the cutest thing. So anyways, just like shout out to that. So you don't think this is Battle of the Jams?
I don't, but I do want to talk about jam. And ARO. I love ARO. I hate the name, and this first product makes absolutely no fucking sense to me. But I love that she's doing PR boxes because, like, seeing who's getting them, Kris Jenner got one. Perfect.
She's kind of the only name I know.
Me too. But it's perfect and it's a start. And to say I'm disappointed in the direction ARO has taken when I first was, you know, introduced to the brand and where they would be going, did I think that jam would be? No. I thought we were going to get, you know, a Dutch oven as the first product. Or perhaps tea towels, you know? I didn't expect this. And it's an orange jam, which I think is disgusting. I love strawberry jam. I love raspberry jam. I do not like grape jam. And I don't know what's in orange jam. Apricot, perhaps? And it's not for me.
But it was presented with lemons. I feel like it has lemons in it.
Lemon jam ain't a thing.
No, like, but like you saw the gift basket had lemons.
I thought it was more like a stylistic thing, you know, like the season.
I think maybe it was a tie-in to the nodes of jam.
Nodes of lemon in the jam.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think the whole thing is like being done really poorly. I'm
it's
shocked.
Giving the final jam.
It is giving the this is real, this is me. That's literally Megan. She's like, you guys think you know me, but here's my jam.
And Buckingham Palace is, I'm too cool, too cool. I'm too cool to know you.
They're like, yeah, we've been at this camp for 6 years. Good luck, Mitchie.
Good luck with your jams at the final jam.
Literally, it's giving Mitchie.
She's Mitchie Markle.
Okay, content idea for the social. Like, the final jam, but Tess has Charles's face on it, and Mitchie has Megan's face.
Oh, that's funny. I don't associate the Buckingham Palace gift shop with Charles, but yeah, I guess it's his
Lizzie.
Shop. It's Lizzie's shop.
Lizzie is ripped, so it's Charles's shop now.
I feel like Kate, when she's well and good and looking to take something on, should really become the face of the shop. And that's...
No, but I feel like the shop is perfect. Like, the way you described it, like, I wouldn't change a thing.
I know, but you just said it's Charles's shop.
Yeah, he's the king, Jackie.
Yeah, and he lives there, and she doesn't. Kate doesn't.
Correct.
William doesn't.
Not yet.
Camilla's shop? Camilla has a book club.
No, and one thing about Camilla is, like, I actually, like, over the last couple of years, they've done a good job. Like, they've gotten to me. Like, I kind of get it. I get it. Nothing about her aesthetic is enticing to me.
Yeah, no.
She doesn't give off, like, even Nancy Meyer, Coastal Grand. She gives off, like, old lady butterscotch candies. Like, she gives off bad vibes aesthetically. I said it.
Yeah, but I think she should keep doing what she's doing.
It's working.
I don't need more from her.
No, I don't need her taking over the shop. I need a, like, direct-to-consumer marketing branding expert. Like, somebody needs to help Megan. This brand is, like, very slowly.
You don't think she has all the help that money can buy?
There's no way all the help that money can buy came up with American Riviera Orchard as a name.
But it did.
And a first product being jam. It's so bad.
She has all the help that money can buy.
It's really bad. And I'm really disappointed because I was excited.
You don't think... I spent so much of last week, like, analyzing this jam. And okay. Where I ended up and, like,
what did Stassi say about it?
Oh, my God. Stassi...
Was she disappointed?
She was disappointed that, not for you, the same reason as you, she's disappointed that Megan has just, like, decided to become an influencer and has a product line and all this stuff.
Right.
And that, like, it's so, she thought Megan was going to change the world, she said. Oh, and, like, all the stuff they talked about, like, philanthropy and this and that. And then just to see, like, she's just going to become, like, any other, like, commercial.
Kardashian energy.
Yeah, like, where is the humanity? Where is the charity?
That's
where
a good point.
Is
the
change
people's princess.
Of the world? Yeah, like, she thought Meghan and Harry had what it took to change the world, and I think we both agree that if that's what they wanted to do, they could have accomplished way more staying
the
in the
royals.
Royal family.
Yeah,
and now she's really disappointed that, like, none of those things are happening.
Oh man,
like, she's coming from a place of earnestness.
No, and clearly sadness. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, like, disappointment in a different way. Real disappointment.
Damn.
Yeah. No, honestly, like, it sent a chill through me when she said it.
Chilling stuff.
But no, where I ended with the jam is, I think the jam is a jumping off point.
I mean,
we're starting
hopefully.
Small and we're going to build out. We can't just start with a Dutch oven. We're not going to beat Le Creuset in a day.
No, of course
Le
not.
Le Creuset wasn't built in a day.
This is her lip kit, for lack of a better analogy. The difference being, when I think at the time, especially when I thought of Kylie, I thought of lips. When I think of Megan, I'm not thinking of jam.
What do you think of?
I definitely think of, like, more.
I think that's the problem.
I don't even know what I would suggest.
Yeah.
But when the brand was described to me, even though I didn't like the name, I really liked when they announced the brand, what it was going to be. There was going to be, like, a partnering Netflix show. It was going to give very much Joanna Gaines energy.
Yeah, still happening.
Yeah. And I think, like, and also, like, selling food online is, like, weird. Do you know what I mean?
Well, jams last forever.
No, I know. But, like, it's just weird. Like, okay, Kroger. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, am I going to get it on Instacart?
Kurt?
This is weird.
Yeah. I do like a jam, though.
I love a jam. And not an orange one.
I love a honey, too.
Maybe that'll be their next product.
Yeah. I want honey by David Beckham. He has his own bees.
Oh, right. I was like, okay, what's the correlation?
Yeah. He takes honey seriously.
Yeah. I respect that. He respects them.
I hope one day I'm in a position to take honey seriously.
I mean, it's definitely a privilege.
You know, like, but right now I'm just, like, buying the bear from the store.
No. And I personally, like, cannot relate to anyone who's not buying the bear from the store.
Yeah, but that's a goal of mine.
And if you don't buy the bear from the store, like, you should just, good for you. I'm not, like, saying anything bad, but, like, you should just, like, every day, like, stop and be grateful. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're like, you're on a different planet.
If you had a bear, you would know what it's like.
But you don't.
Right. Are you ready for our fifth and final story, which is some sports news?
Oh, man. Yeah.
One of our favorite athletes, Reggie Bush, is getting his Heisman Trophy back 14 years after forfeiting it.
Come again?
So Reggie Bush has had his 2005 Heisman Trophy back as the Heisman Trust announced Wednesday the formal reinstatement of the trophy to Bush amid what it calls an enormous changes in the college football landscape. So the decision comes after Bush had forfeited his Heisman Trophy in 2010 in the wake of significant NCAA sanctions for USC, which included Bush receiving improper benefits during a Trojans career that spanned from 2003 to 2005. As part of the decision on Wednesday, the Heisman Trust is returning the trophy to Reggie and a replica to USC. Bush will again be invited to all future Heisman Trophy ceremonies beginning in the 2024 season.
It's like awkward showing up to like a facility you've been uninvited from for many years. Like, I wouldn't go. How y'all doing, literally?
Yeah, so I guess the NCAA rules have changed, and now, like, what he did back then would have been allowed, so they're giving him his trophy back.
Well, them, like, recently changing the rules on, like, you know, deals athletes can make and all these different things is so long overdue. I think, like, people were having that conversation for so many years. But, you know, at the time, like, not to be such a narc, like, Reggie did, like, break the rules. Like, you know what I mean? Now that the rules have changed, like, he still broke them when they were old.
In place.
You know what I mean? It's like kind of weird. Like, yeah, you're not breaking the rules now, but you didn't do it now. You did it then.
Yeah. I think it's okay.
I'm all for Reggie Bush getting his flowers. I just think conceptually, like, that's not how rules work, you know?
Yeah, unless, like, the rules were made to be broken. And it's like, we were wrong for that rule.
Chilling.
And we were wrong for the way that we treated you, and this is an admission of that.
They were wrong for that rule.
And he deserves his trophy. Like,
and now let me ask you a question. Did O.J. Simpson get his Heisman Trophy removed? I believe he had one. Now,
Also, Johnny Manziel got the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Did you watch his documentary?
I didn't.
It was good. I needed to know about him.
He did win it in 1968. Did he get it? What happened to his Heisman Trophy? Somebody bought it at auction. But I meant, like, not the physical one.
Yeah. No, it's such a great question. It's giving willy-nilly.
So the strange but true tales of O.J. Simpson's two Heisman Trophies. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Did he get it stripped? But it's now owned by somebody in Reno who collects that sort of thing.
But Johnny Manziel won the Heisman Trophy the year that Manti Te'o was up for it. And so that made me, like, upset.
Hate Johnny.
Yeah, but then I was like, okay, well, I want to hear about Johnny. Like, how did someone beat Manti? And I watched his documentary, which was also, like, so fascinating. But he broke rule after rule and and time again. But he still is a member of the Heisman.
Did Johnny ever go to the NFL?
Yeah, and he flopped majorly.
Oh.
No, it's not oh. He had, like, literally more natural-born talent than anyone, and he completely squandered it.
Oh.
Like, first of all, like...
Okay, Aaron Andrews.
Yeah, well, I watched a documentary, so I'm an expert. He broke rules, didn't work, like, was drinking and not, and doing drugs, and couldn't even, like, pass a urine test sometimes, right. And, like, not training the way an athlete should train. And he still played really well for a long time under those circumstances, but, like, he was a liability within the NFL. And
what team was he on?
I don't know. Let me look it up. But it didn't
I feel
go
like
well
he's a name, like, that I recognize, but I literally know nothing about him. Maybe I shouldn't watch his documentary.
Yeah, you should. I think I was in an elevator with him once.
That's so funny. I was in TSA pre-check with him once.
Oh my God. He's just kind of a man about town.
And the paparazzi were following
him. On the Browns, he was selected as the 22nd overall pick. But despite his success, he struggled with consistency, and his tenure was ..
Damn.
Overshadowed by off-field controversies. Yeah, exactly. He was released by the Browns after the end of the 2015 season. Following further controversies during the 2016 offseason, he was not signed by another team before the start of the season and spent 2 years away from football until he returned with the Tiger Cats of the CFL in 2018. He was later traded to the Alouettes during the season, but was released the following year and rendered ineligible to play in the CFL after it was determined he violated the rules of his contract.
Not
this
the CFL.
Boy is a mess.
Not the CFL.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, it's just a name that I recognize it now. I feel really learned, so thank you.
No, you should watch the documentary because it's a crying shame how he squandered natural born talent.
I hate watching documentaries like that.
Well, you won't feel sorry for him, though.
No. I mean, enraged. Wasted potential. Ugh,
yeah. Like, could play hungover and still, like, Slay the house down so the boots. Good. Imagine if he tried. Right. Imagine if he stayed sober and like worked out every morning and trained.
You know what it's giving? That year Michael Phelps like stopped trying and was, Ryan Lochte kind of got his shine. When Ryan Lochte like wasn't even that good, Michael Phelps was just sticking it up because he smoked pot one time, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That Michael Phelps pot thing was so funny. And then they were like, it's stevia. Or not stevia. What do they call it?
Salvia. Salvia. So he took the Miley way out.
Miley, yeah. That was like, that's one of my favorite like celebrity tropes.
Salvia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is our show. Final together, but not final of the week because tomorrow is Friday. We'll be back. Remote girly swirlies, and that's fine.
Remote swirlies are still swirlies.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone.
Love ya. Bye.